Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Techotastic. Chris here. Welcome everyone, and if this is your first episode tuning in, thank you and welcome to the show. I wanted to bring out a new episode of Techotastic before Trust Me, I Have a Beard to talk about the CES coverage as well as Nintendo's new technology in regards to the Nintendo Switch. CES was a pretty good show this year, and it really showed everyone where our current technology is heading. Tons of foldable screens, self-driving cars, new processor chips, of course, augmented reality, virtual reality. But as well as our current technology, this show really showed what we're doing with this current technology. We're accentuating it, and we're able to develop more AI technology. And for instance, on this couple of articles, they're able to 3D print actual human faces now, pretty much to the T, Mission Impossible style, which is pretty awesome. But before we talk about CES and the coverage and Nintendo's console, let's go ahead and jump into our tech bargains of the week. These are all the tech bargains and deals and stuff that I scanned over. I mean, honestly, I only took about 10 minutes doing it. But I give these deals to everyone that's listening, just in case maybe it slipped underneath your radar. So our first deal is going to be a game deal, and I'm a huge Mass Effect fan. The new Mass Effect Andromeda is coming out, I believe mid-March, and you can get it right now for $41.59. That's a CD key, of course, but that's 31% off from $60. It's a pretty good deal. I've been actually replaying Mass Effect. Let's see, I first started playing Mass Effect on Xbox, and it was basically to the situation of I got past the second one, and I was playing the third one on Xbox, but I was moving around all the time. I couldn't beat it because I was just moving around. I didn't have enough time, and ended up actually selling my Xbox. So then I got it on PC, and I'm still trying to beat the third one. There's just so much to do, and I love that universe, but I definitely will beat it before Andromeda, so I know what's going on. I still haven't revealed to myself what the ending is. I've managed to weed out all the spoilers and everything like that. If there's anything to do with Mass Effect 3 on the internet, I just quickly scroll right past it. So I still don't even know what happens at the end. Hopefully Shepard lives. Does Shepard live? My Shepard? I'm pretty sure he doesn't. So our next tech bargain is going to be... let's see, where the hell did it go? Alright, okay. Yeah, it's straight off Lenovo's website, actually. This is a great deal. $500. And I know that's pretty steep. This is a nice laptop. It's a 14-inch laptop. It's only like 3 pounds. Super thin. Getting the 6th generation Intel i5 processor in it. That's extremely fucking fast for nowadays. You can do whatever you want with that. 8 gigs of memory. I don't believe it's a touchscreen, which is kind of lame. I feel like all laptops nowadays should just have a touchscreen in it. Up to 5 hours of battery life. It's pretty decent. It's decent. I'd say that's in the mid-range. I would like to see more devices get 7 hours. But for $500, it's a great current generation laptop. And of course, I'm going to post all the tech bargains, all the bargains right here that you can get on the internet on ETAcast Facebook. That's facebook.com/ETAcast. You'll find it in the comment section on this episode. Alright, so let's just talk about the elephant in the room. I'm not going to talk about the tech news because all these articles and stuff is relevant from CES. And so essentially, it is all tech news. But let's go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room. Nintendo Switch. See, about in 2017 summer 2017, I wanted to do an episode about E3 on Techotastic, but then I was like, no, I'm not going to, because I wanted to see what Nintendo was going to announce. And they announced their new console, the Nintendo Switch. I'm sure everyone is pretty familiar with it by now. But the ones that's not familiar with it, it's coming out at $300, and it's coming out relatively soon, March. I believe early March. Yeah, March 3rd. $300 US. That's going to be £280. So, and the Switch itself is a console that's very versatile in the sense that you can attach it to your TV, use it as a console traditionally, and then pick it up and then use it as a handheld device, Game Boy essentially. You know, take it while you're, take it to the bathroom while you're having a shit, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, and, you know, play Mario Kart, wherever. However, the $300 price tag is pretty steep. It's a lot to ask for nowadays, especially for a console that really only plays Nintendo games. I mean, they're going to have, you know, Skyrim on there. That's great. Whoa, I can take Skyrim on the go. But essentially, you can just buy the laptop that I just talked about on the Lenovo laptop. That 14-inch laptop can run Skyrim no problem. And you're actually going to get better battery life out of it. Because the Switch battery life is quoted at 2.5 hours to 6 hours, which in general right there, 2.5 hours to 6.5 hours, excuse me, that's a pretty rough estimate. So basically they're saying is if you're playing video games on it rather than just scrolling around on our menu, you're going to get pretty mediocre battery life, around 3 hours they're saying if you're playing the new Zelda game, Breath of the Wild. So, I don't know, 3 hours of battery life, I don't care what people say, that is not a lot of time to play video games. It's not a lot of time to, you know, sit there and play for 30 minutes and then have another 2.5 hour session on it, you know, and then get really into the game. Because let's say you're on an airplane or whatever it may be, and you're like, fuck, I gotta charge this fucking thing. Or I gotta attach this other device up to it so I can charge it. I can't play it when it's at 10%, because maybe, I'm not saying that's how it's going to be. However, it is a device that came a little too late, in my opinion. This should have came out, I would say, 2 years ago. Late 2015 would have been a great time for this device to come out, and they just came out a little too late. And everyone that bought a Wii U, I would imagine, is pretty pissed off, because this is basically what the Wii U should have been. I mean, come on. That's the elephant in the room. Give me a fucking break here, Nintendo. Stop making prototype products and then pushing them on to people. And I fear that this is going to happen with the Switch. They're going to go ahead and perfect it in a year and a half. The device will be able to get like 7 hours of battery life, whatever it is, because they'll put a new chip in it. And everyone, you know, hey, you gotta buy it again. $250 this time. Yes, you're getting a 1080p nice screen. But the actual Switch outputs at 1080p, excuse me. The internal screen, the screen itself is 720p. That's fine, whatever. I don't really care about that, because I understand the difference between having a smaller screen and the pixels are scrunched in. You're not going to really tell the difference. And it's going to be a nice touchscreen. However, they haven't quoted this device to have any sort of new age features as far as apps. I mean, come on. We all use apps in some sort of way. Netflix. Can I watch Netflix on this thing? They're not giving any sort of answers or pointing that the Nintendo Switch is able to do any sort of smart features that our smartphones or that our smart TVs or even just other consoles can do. Do I imagine that they're going to have something? Yes, but they're going to have some sort of Nintendo-regulated shit. You know, they're not going to have a full browser on it, of course. Well, maybe they will, because the DS did have a type of browser system. However, they're really just planning on everyone in the house to buy it and to go over to your buddy's house and go play Mario Kart together, and everyone has these $300 devices in their hand. I wish that it was around $200. You know, $175 would be perfect. And as far as the whole gestural input, the two controllers on the side, and you can put this little wedge in between it to kind of make it a full feature controller. It's too small. It's always been Nintendo. You know, Nintendo, you never fucking utilize the real estate that you have there. There's these tiny ass little buttons. Your entire finger can cover the X, Y, B, A buttons. Your entire thumb. And Nintendo's always had this like problem where they're not making hardware for the entire world. They're kind of just thinking about one audience, which is children. I love Nintendo. I think Nintendo is a great company, and they really got me into video games. You know, playing Donkey Kong on the SNES and playing Zelda, you know, Link to a Past and whatnot. That really got me into video games. I just feel like Nintendo isn't really growing as much as it should. And also, too, they're not making this device backwards compatible, which is like, oh, come on. You're making this really powerful handheld device, and you're telling me I can't use 3DS cartridges, or I can't use the Wii U disc. I mean, it's a little crazy when you think about it. You know, Nintendo constantly wants to refresh their market while leaving everyone else behind. I mean, I got the 3DS when it first came out, and I was super unhappy with the battery life. It only lasted about 2.5 hours when you're really, you know, fucking with it, and I was just really disappointed with it. It wasn't good enough. Do I have high hopes for Nintendo? Of course I do. But I do think that they need to consolidate their entire market and figure out what to do from there. This is a great device to keep around for a couple of years. But Nintendo needs to go ahead and be a little more reserved in the next coming years to build their brand back up and to consolidate everything. And then we can go ahead and see another rendition of the Switch. But at the very least, right now, I would like to see the controller reformed. Just fucking make the buttons bigger, man. Come on. Buttons are so small. And I got small hands. And I'm saying they're small, so... Good luck, everyone else. So moving on from the Nintendo Switch at CES, there's a lot of other things to talk about. One big thing that was featured at CES, more so than the previous years, was the Internet of Things. And the Internet of Things is a network of physical devices. Think of like just buildings themselves, or your toaster oven, your fridge, you know, just different devices, physical devices around us, smoke detectors, that has an embedded piece of software in it. So it has the hardware capabilities, of course. It has the form factor to put a little processor in there. And it's communicating with the internet. So on the Internet of Things side of things... Oh man, that's fucking redundant. They need to rename that. Internet of Things side of things. Fuck you now. Just think of it as a infrastructure for other devices to talk to each other. You know... eventually your house in itself, your kitchen will have its own little internet of things together inside of that kitchen. The fridge, the oven, the dishwasher, they're all talking to each other and they're saying, you know, hey, let's develop a routine for so-and-so being you. And they'll start to collect data to help your life out. But also they have sensors and you know, they could talk to each other, relay data, and essentially just work better with more efficiency. So at CES, the Internet of Things was being exposed as far as cybersecurity. You know, when you introduce rudimentary functions into rudimentary devices, and what I mean by functions is it's collecting a lot of data, it's gathering a lot of things, it's, you know, maybe there'd be a camera that could be activated, and you integrate it into our actual internet. That opens a lot of back doors up and a lot of questions as far as what's going on with my privacy, what's going on with my data, of course. You know, everyone's really concerned about it. And rightfully so, because, yes, in one hand, I can understand you don't want all these devices collecting so much data about, you know, from you. You want to live a life that's just, that's... that's forthcoming, that you know that these devices aren't working against you, of course, or they can't be used against you. And a lot of different cybersecurity products were coming out and creating doubts about such threats. But honestly, I think this is going to be the forefront of current generation hackers taking advantage of their ability to hack and using your devices against you. I mean, imagine if someone's really pissed off at you and they, you know, they know a little bit of computer language, you know, programming language, and they just hack into your kitchen and they shut off your fridge and then all your food spoils. I mean, this is, I know it sounds like, oh, that's never going to happen, but honestly, with these functions built into things like a fridge, you're going to be able to control the overall contingencies of it, whether or not it can shut off, turn on, and if it's functioning right. Hell, you might even, you know, be able to control the humidity that's being pumped into your fridge, you know, to make sure all your food stays fresh. So you can only imagine if someone has some sort of basic knowledge on all this forefront technology, because of course, it's not a standard today, but it's being implemented today. People are learning about it, and also, you know, people are kind of assholes sometimes. So, I do think that it is going to become a problem once everyone starts adopting all this stuff. You know, buying the smart toaster and the smart vacuum. And there might be infrastructure in place where, you know, if you buy a Hoover vacuum, they're all backed up by these Hoover servers or whatever have you. Someone hacks into that and then they all fuck up your vacuum. I mean, who knows? It might not get that big. I hope not. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other barriers involved. But we do need to start thinking about our security in that fashion. You know, hacking nowadays is relatively, you know, people relatively don't think about it. You know, you type in your credit card information, you're pretty sure that your computer or whatever device that you're using is relatively secure and safe. The device that you're using is locked down as far as antivirus software, and it's being scanned or whatever it is. You know, you bought some Norton 1-year security and you got that peace of mind. But that's really the only way someone can really fuck up your life is stealing your credit card information. You know, yes, someone can hack your Facebook and change your profile picture to, you know, a dick on your head and type like, oh, like, fuck everyone or whatever it is. And that's lame too. But it's not necessarily going to cause a speed bump in your life. And the only thing that's going to happen is, you know, you're a little upset. Yeah, someone can steal your credit card information and fuck up your life in that angle. But only you can only imagine if someone hacks into your house and turns off your entire electricity. I mean, that's the stuff we have to start thinking about. So also at CES, AMD announced their new processing chip. It's called the Ryzen. Coming in at 14 nanometers, the chip itself. And they're touting it to be this really amazing chip that, you know, is very superior to Intel, blah, blah, blah. And, however, I'm excited over it because it's, once again, it's a way for competition to kind of one-up each other. You know, you got AMD saying, hey, Intel, I got a better chip than you. And then, you know, next year, Intel's going to go, okay, let's see what happens now. Check out this chip. This is our fucking Nebula Lake processor. And it's getting really exciting because this current technology where our processing chips are becoming smaller and smaller. By about 2020, we're going to be down into the single-digit nanometer scale and approaching the atomic age of computers, quantum computing. So really, I'm super excited just to see this technology just to finally start to level out. A lot of the current engineers and software developers and the people that are actually manufacturing these chips understand that we're falling out of Moore's Law, which basically states that our technology is leaping over itself. There's more transistors in our processors every year, leaps over itself. So times two. And we're pretty much leveling out as far as where we're going with our current technology. But this is a great time because we're going out of our growing pains with this technology. Everyone can see around us what's going on with what we have. We have self-driving cars now. AI, artificial intelligence, is becoming more and more a reality. Just look at what's going on with Cortana and Alexa and the Google AI. I still don't know if that thing has a name. That's going to start being embedded into our cars, and we're going to start having conversations more and more with our devices, our technology. So we're developing the relationship with our current technology, finally. We're getting that golden age where everyone should have an aha moment with our current technology, whether it's getting more and more work done in your life or writing a book and you just realize how easy it is, where, you know, back in the day people would have to literally fucking write it out or type it out on a typewriter. You know, good luck having spell check back then. So what I mean by all this, it's extremely exciting that AMD is coming out with a new chip and pushing Intel to new limits. And CES this year really showed us that we can really accentuate, make our technology, our current technology, beautiful in a way that it's going to empower us. It's going to make us more efficient in our lives. It's going to make us more creative. It's exciting times for us as human beings. Hopefully when we do make the transition to the next phase of technology, we realize everything that we've done wrong with this current technology to just make ourselves better. We just need to keep going at it and using everything around us, you know, as far as our computers and our phones in our pockets, to help us be better humans. And I think our current technology is doing a great job at doing just that. I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of Techotastic, and I hope you guys enjoyed the CES coverage. I know I didn't really go into a lot of topics from CES. These were just things that I found interesting, and there's a lot of different things that happen at CES as far as virtual reality and augmented reality, which is super cool, and I will definitely be following all that. Oh, and by the way, everyone, that rocket that I mentioned that SpaceX was going to blast off, it blasted off just fine. So congratulations, SpaceX, on that. Thank you guys again and gals for checking out Techotastic and ETA Cast podcasts. Remember, you can check out all the rest of the podcasts from ETA Cast Network at facebook.com/ETA Cast. Hit that like button so you can get all the content in real time. And if you have any opinions or suggestions for Techotastic, be sure to write us. That's techotastic@outlook.com. But as far as me, I will try to get back on the schedule of things. However, I've been slinging Pokemon cards and going to numerous job interviews. And I'm going to start getting on a schedule here, and hopefully I can even out and be able to record on a weekly basis like I used to. I think I will have a episode of Trust Me, I Have a Beard. Yeah, I'm going to try to shoot for the end of January. So I'm recording this right now on the 25th of January. Oh yeah, and we got a new president. So yeah, I'm definitely going to have to record here soon about that. So thank you again for checking us out. And remember, everyone, you have a Techotastic day. We'll see you next time.